If you have your Bibles tonight and you want to read along, I'm reading out of John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Complete unity. Complete unity is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. As I was studying the scriptures this week and I ran across this, I've seen this, I've read it, I don't know how many times I've read it, lots. But it just jumped out at the page. Complete unity. The word unity means the state of being united or joined as a whole. The state of being united or joined as a whole. Many people think of unity as being in agreement with each other or a group of people. That's what comes to mind when people think of unity. Because when I think of it, that's what I think of. When you think of it, I'm guessing how many of you think that. People are in agreement together. That's what most people think about. While unity is vital to working together to accomplish common goals, or even there is a level of unity that is more important than unity with each other, and it is complete unity. Complete unity, which doesn't have anything to do with being united with each other. In John chapter 17, there's three different areas that probably, if you have a Bible similar to mine, it gives a little synopsis before each section. And the first section says is Jesus prays for himself. The second says Jesus prays for his disciples, and then Jesus prays for all believers. And I want to look at each one of those today. John chapter 17, verse number 1, it says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. And I apologize, I didn't write this down. So I got to get my glasses out and read what it says. But I just want to go back a couple of verses in chapter 16, verse 31. You don't have to put this on the screen, but that's okay. Verse 29, Jesus said to his disciples, Now you are speaking clearly without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. And Jesus said this in verse 31, do you now believe? He said, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And after this, in verse number 1, Jesus said, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. And verse 3 says this, now this is eternal life. You want to know what eternal life is? Jesus said it. This is eternal life, that they know you. Talking about those that he has come for, those that he has called, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life, that people may know the one, the true God, and know Jesus Christ, that they may know him. How many know that you can meet somebody, and that doesn't mean that you know them? You can work with somebody, but that doesn't mean that you know them. You can live next door to somebody, but that doesn't mean that you know them. And so he said, this is eternal life, that I have come, that all people, that he gives eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and they know Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not just being introduced to Jesus. That's only the beginning. We must know him as we know our Heavenly Father. It's a continual process. We get closer and closer and closer to him. And that was Jesus' prayer, that we know our Heavenly Father and that we know Jesus Christ. Yes. Any of you that have been married a long time, then you know your spouse. Amen. You know their likes, you know their dislikes. I can taste something, and occasionally, every once in a while, I'm wrong, but not very often. I can taste something, and I know whether she's going to like it or not, because I know most of her tastes. Occasionally, she can surprise me and just you know, go out there and say that, you know, this is something. Or she may reveal something to me, doesn't happen very often, something I didn't know. And I'll look at her and I'll say, I didn't know that. We've been married 32 years. I didn't know that. But it happens. Jesus was getting ready to face the cross, and his earthly physical ministry was getting ready to close out that particular window.
Yes.
Verse number 4, he says, I have brought you, he's still praying to his heavenly Father, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. He brought glory to people. From his heavenly Father.
Yes.
Glory is magnificence, splendor, and greatness. He brought the knowledge of his heavenly Father, the glorious presence of his heavenly Father, the magnificence, the splendor, the greatness of his heavenly Father. He brought that knowledge to people. He brought it to the earth. And now verse 5 says, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus didn't just start being Jesus when he came to this earth. He was the Son of God. He was ever before it, before creation was, he was.
Yes, the world
he said, there's glory that I had beforehand, and I want you to glorify me in your presence with the glory I had.
Yes, Lord.
Bring down the glory. And then we get to verse 6 where he begins to pray for his disciples. He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world.
Yes.
He has revealed his heavenly Father to those that were entrusted to him. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Notice how the disciples obeyed the word of God. If you are a disciple of Christ, you can tell because you obey the word of God. You do what the word has, what the word says. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. There is one scripture, I didn't bring it in, where it said that Jesus is a representation of his heavenly Father. He is the expression of his heavenly Father. He is the radiance of his heavenly Father. That's what he is. Everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. So the word of God went forth into the disciples' life, and they accepted them. We are disciples of Jesus Christ whenever we hear the word of God and we accept them into our hearts. They knew with certainty, there was no shadow of a doubt or question, that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. When we believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the exact representation of the Heavenly Father, when we believe in him, then we are ones that have eternal life. Verse 9 says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Glory has come to me through them. I underline that one because it's very curious. Jesus said, there is glory that has come to me through them, through his disciples. How do we give glory to Jesus? How do we do that? We do that because what he said earlier, they obeyed the word of God. They believed with certainty that Jesus came from God. And because we live that way, then we bring glory to Jesus. In verse 11, he said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. That is so powerful right there. So that they may be as one. Just like he talked about how the Heavenly Father and himself were one. They were They were one together. They were there before the creation of the world. Everything that the Father gave the Son was His. And He was revealed to man through Jesus Christ. And He said, just like You give Me the Word, so that they may be one, so that they may be one as We are one. We want them to be one. We want them to be united. Talking about complete unity comes when we are unified, not with each other, but when we are in unity with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name You gave Me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to You now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of My joy with them. He was saying, I'm not hanging around here very much longer, but I'm saying these things so that they can have the full measure of My joy within them. How would you like to have the full measure of the joy of Jesus that is within, that He gives, flowing in your life? You can do that. He said, verse 14, I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them. When we receive the word of God, that's the basis for us receiving the joy of Jesus Christ. And the world has hated them, but they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. We know without a doubt that He isn't of the world, because He came from the heavenly realm. But He says here with a great revelation, He says, they, the disciples, are not of the world any more than I am of the world, because they have believed. They have believed, they have accepted the word of God. So we are one, just like the Heavenly Father and I are one. Verse 15, my prayer is not that You take them out of this world, but that You protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. He says it again. And then He says this, sanctify them by the truth. And then He defines what the truth is. The word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. There used to be an old, when I was growing up in traditional Pentecostal churches, I've heard people say this when they would stand up in testimony service. They say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many's ever heard that? They've heard it. Sanctification has nothing to do with your profession. It has everything to do with how you live your life.
There it is.
Sanctification is a direct work of the Holy Spirit, but it is a behavior change on your part. Sanctification means that you have been set aside for a special purpose, for a godly purpose.
Yes.
Sanctification means that He has a direct work for you, and when He saves you, He sanctifies you and puts you on that path. I have set you aside for a special purpose. Now, whether we choose to be sanctified is completely up to us. Sanctification, we believe, is a progressive work, and it continues and it continues and it continues. It's not just a one-time work, just like salvation is not just a one-time experience. Salvation is meant to be walked and lived each and every day of our lives. It's not just a prayer that we pray and we can live how we want to afterward. Sanctification isn't just a, well, I gave this up for the Lord, and so since I gave that up, I'm not giving anything else in my life up. That's enough. I'm just going to call it good right there. And He says, I've got so much more for you if you will accept the word of God, and you will live like you are living by the word of God. Then you will live a sanctified, you will live a holy life. It's not a popular message, because the Bible says without holiness no man will see God. Which means that if we're living a life of sin, we're not going to heaven. It's not my word, it's the word of God. We continue to sin. The scripture says we trample the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot. We're saying, I said I accepted Your sacrifice, but I'm going to continue to sin anyway. So therefore, I'm just saying Your sacrifice doesn't mean much. I'm just going to walk over it. And when we go to sin, it means we have to step through, trample over the blood to get to the sin, because that's where the sin is on the other side of where the blood is. It's not there. The blood is not where the sin is.
Amen.
The blood is where the sin was.
Amen.
And he said, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. That's how we're sanctified. We live according to the word of God. Not just part of the word of God. We live by all of the word of God. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. In other words, I have set aside myself. I have set myself apart from everything else. I have set myself apart for the work that God, you have called me to do, which was to go to the cross, is where he was going. That was the work that God, the Heavenly Father, had for Jesus to do. Now, he's not going to send us to the cross to be a sacrifice, because that's not what he called us to do. That was the work of Christ. But he does have a definite work that he has called us to do, and a definite purpose that he has called us. In verse 20, he said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Talking about everyone who we will encounter, all the disciples of Christ who will hear the message of the gospel and the trueness of the gospel. Jesus says, I not only pray for the disciples, but I pray for those who will believe the message that they are giving. That all of them, everybody say all. All of them may be one. There it is again. One, Father, just as you and me, you are in me and I am in you. You get that it's kind of important. Jesus says it multiple times in this scripture. He says, I want them to be one with you. I want them to be united with you and with me, just as I am united with you. Complete unity, perfect unity is being one with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, in both of us, in the Heavenly Father and God the Son. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory, the glory that you gave me. Transferable glory, transferable excellence, transferable splendor, transferable greatness, that Jesus says, I have given it to them because they have believed. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. There it is again, unity. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to what? Complete unity. Complete unity. You see, our relationship with the Lord is not complete until we're in complete unity. It's not complete. How many of you have ever cooked something and you left out an ingredient and you're thinking, there's just something that's not right? I made zucchini bread one time, and after it was in the oven for 5 minutes, I realized I didn't put sugar in it, and that would have tasted really mighty strange, and so it had already set. I couldn't take it out, but I made a sugar glaze and put over it, and it wasn't too bad. It seemed complete. Amen. We can make mistakes with our lives, and Jesus says, if you'll just call it good where you are and just walk away and leave it, then I will put what you need in there, and I will be complete in you, and we will have complete unity. When the complete unity comes, he said, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When we are brought to complete unity in the Lord, then the world will know that Jesus Christ came from God, and that he is the representation of God, and that he is the only way to God. Complete unity. I want to challenge you tonight to have that complete unifying moment with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and you are walking in the pathway of sanctification for his holy purpose and his holy calling, because there is one for your life. There is one for my life. We must be in complete unity. Father, I thank you tonight for the trueness of your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would just move with your power amongst us tonight. That, Lord, you would just allow your Holy Spirit to transcend all barriers that we may have. That, Lord, in the spirit of complete unity with you, with our Heavenly Father, we go boldly into the throne room to find grace and help in the time of need. And Lord, as our hearts reach toward you today, Lord, we believe that you're going to come down with a great renewal of power and energy that is going to just take us to the next level of where we need to be. Lord, you said those that are tired and weary to come to you and you would give them rest. Let's trade every burden, every heartache, every sorrow, Lord, for walking closer to you than we've ever walked before. Let us sense that unity that we have with you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you because the splendor of your majesty will be revealed in us as we walk according to your word and as we live close to you. In the name of Jesus.